Okay. Come on over, Dave.
All right, everybody has to behave. We're taping this. And you didn't know it, most of you don't, but it goes all over the world. It goes on Gary's site. And sometimes they're saying, "Who is that talking back there?" So Gary made one time when he was here, and Bruce and Johnny were really vocal in it, and everybody wanted to know who they were, so he had to tell them. You know, throughout time, I thought, gosh, they were on that tape a lot. Anyway, we were singing that song, and when we start our worship, because I start my worship for this on Sunday morning really early, in my getting my mind cleaned out, making sure there's no intellect running anything, but it's spirit, and dealing with me to come down here. And so usually by the time I get down here, I'm just ready for the worship part. And that's what the good part is. That's what really clothes us. Because unless he clothes us with himself, we stand naked. You don't know you're naked sometimes. But sometimes I know when people's naked. So that's the way it is. And as you grow in life, and 2-year-olds run around naked, they don't know they're naked. They just know they don't want no clothes on. And that's okay. But when you get older, you put away childish things and learn how to be clothed in the right things. Anyway, the one song we sang, "Unite My Heart to Fear Thy Name." The word fear isn't there at all. And I do thank God for King James and him being a stepping stone of mistranslations. Many, but at least he got it done so some people could read it. The word there, fear, is reverence. And in the cardinal sign, if we're walking in a cardinal sphere, that's the highest sphere you can walk in. It's an ascending order of sacrifice that you give, that Father goes, yes. It's reverence and embracing has nothing to do with what we call fear. Zero. Because in that place, there's nothing to fear of understanding him. So I wish they'd rewrite that and not put that word there, because the carnal mind immediately interprets it the way it knows it. It doesn't understand that there's so much greater depth to everything that is written. As we grow, we're growing, we're a progressive people. Surely we are. Okay, today, we have a birthday today. I don't know how old Liz is. You know, you don't ask ladies how old they are, but this is Liz's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And she's been a blessing among us.
She gives me good reports on you all the time.
Well, she kind of got here like an angel in disguise, but I stripped her one day. I found out she's really an angel. Yeah, she kind of had her wings hid. Anyway, the beauty of this sign to me is Ophiuchus. Oh, death, where is thy sting? And oh, grave, where is thy victory? That's exactly what this guy is saying. Ben, he's Greek. I don't think he was black, but Wendy didn't know that. He might have had curly hair, though, they do. And that is Hercules and his 12 labors. And it does speak of conflict, and I have felt it this month. Okay. Today, our moon is in Virgo, and that can be beautiful, and it can be ugly. Because Virgo can be very analytical. So if the moon's in Virgo, you tend to analyze. If you analyze anyway, it'll be worse. And so it can be a tricky sign. So if we don't take things in us to the higher realms of understanding, we're cheated. Just cheated. And words do that. I do thank God for words, but they so limit us, especially in this age, to express the heart of the Father. The other thing is, the receiver must be looking for the heart of the Father and want it and be open. Otherwise, he gets out his plow, like Beverly said. Not 2 minutes before she said that, I thought, break up our fallow ground. And she came out and said what I was thinking. You can't make it up. You can't make this up. It just works too good. Anyway, he looks at the ground that's never been plowed. Aha, I have something to work with. So he sticks the plow in that ground. We're going to get to that in a minute. And begins to break it up, and he don't plow it just once. My husband went over and over. Then he measured and laid furrows. I mean, he really broke up the ground. So when you say, plow my ground, get ready. Because he deals with us personally. I love it that he deals with us on a personal basis. And everybody is valid where they are. Okay, we've been dealing in the Song of Solomon, and I want to continue with that a little. Probably going to run off a track or two, but that'll be okay. Last week we talked about the pillars of smoke, how the daughters of Jerusalem, being Solomon's court, all of his beautiful queens and all of their majestic ways and non-relationships. I don't think any one of those queens had a close relationship with him or had won his heart, or he wouldn't have been a keep on with his whoring. But that's what he was doing. I mean, he was the greatest man. I mean, he built the temple. So God said, it's just one thing, young man. You built the temple, but you can't possess it because you love too many women. That's the ego part of us. And all of us got one of them, you know. Okay. We've shared on this one, the first one, and this one, and now today, hopefully, we can look into this. In everything that the Shulamite is saying back to them shows the progression of her, the growth in her, and the lack in them. It's too bad. But they're not getting it, you know. I can be teaching it, not just in this group, but in any group, and I can tell you who ain't getting it. They'll have no idea what I'm saying, what I'm really saying. Because you gotta plug in. Plug the dang light in, and it'll burn. Get where I am, or I'll get where you are. I can get up there, down there, around there. I've been a lot of places. Okay. She says in Song of Solomon 5 and 8, I guess I better read it down here because I've got too many notes there. Well, let's read that seventh verse because that's kind of interesting in light of what is about to happen. The watchmen that went about the city found me, and they smote me, and they wounded me, and the keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. We sing that song, take this veil off my face, let all death now be erased. So they showed her, they were teaching her how to be naked and really be who she was in the house of I, to be the I am you really are, not so much what somebody else expects you to be, but be who you really are. However, in your somebody else, there should be a flow, not an unflowing. Okay. So the verse says, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, and that you can't think of just back then, but think of your day now, your time, this time. Bring it into your present life. And say to yourself, what are the daughters of Jerusalem in my life within me? Not within Johnny, not within Kate, not within Bev or Terry, Bruce, or her new name, Lily. I gave her a new name. This morning. Anyway, her name is Elizabeth anyway, okay? It's on every document she's got, Elizabeth. So she had adopted a name for that she had for years, and I said, okay, Liz, that's a reptile. We're going to change that.
Okay, that's good.
Anyway, so I called her Lizzie, and this morning I called her Lilybutt. I like it too. From now on, you're Lily Butt.
I don't like that part, but
the lilies. Well, beautiful, I think. Anyway, where are we going here? Oh yes, she's the daughters of Jerusalem. She's addressing again, and she's really trying to persuade them. Because she's so in love with the oneness that she has with her shepherd that she has absolutely no understanding of where they are. She can't believe they're not connected. It's like the bridal party. Everybody's not the bride. There's bystanders and people carrying lights and attendants of all kind, but everyone is not the bride company. And it don't take you but a minute to talk to somebody when you know they're not. They're just not going to do that. So fine, can't let go of that part. That's okay. That's where they're headed. We're all headed there. It may be 6 more ages before you get there. It's up to you, because you get to choose. Do I want to be part of this or not? You don't have to. That's a nice thing about God. He don't say, you got to. But you might as well go ahead and bow that knee, because you're going to bow it before it's over. It might take you ages and ages of manifesting yourself in different lives. But I'm going to get you. You were mine to begin with, and you're going to be mine again. And you're going to know that you're mine by my choices, okay? Anyway. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, if you should ever run into him, have an encounter with him, that you tell him, let him know how I've talked about him, how important he is to me, and that I am sick with love. And that don't mean sickness. Here it means, and if you've ever been in love, and I have been in love, and I am in love with my husband, so I know these feelings. Sick, you can be grieved, wanting to just be closer or nearer. You can be weak, you can feel afflicted. You can feel diseased. It means as a woman in travail, writhing in pain. If you're too snooty to go there, you need to go there. You really need to go there and experience it, or else how is there a contrast, and how do you know? We'll pay the price of anything but a little pain. I don't mean stay there, but go there. She says, I'm so wounded because I'm not here with my beloved right now. It's like Beverly said, we don't experience it constantly because we are humanity and we were sent here to be human. So he lets us be human some. But our divinity is always present. We just don't have awareness of it every moment. Not yet. Some never get that awareness, can you imagine? Thank God that he wakes us up, some of us, for the waking up power. She says, I just feel deserted. Well, I can tell you two people in this room knowing what feels deserted means, and you all may know. Kate had a husband that went to sea, and I had a husband that went to sea. That was the hardest. Well, I didn't face it for a long time. When I finally woke up, it was really hard. It was worse than ever before. But you just feel so... You'd give $1 million if you could just let them hold you a minute, or you could go hold them, just any connection. So, and I'm not saying you don't know how to feel deserted. I'm sure you felt desperate before and deserted from something you loved. But I can feel her feeling, and I'm glad I can, because that tells me that love is deep on both sides, that there's a deep connection with what I'm married to. So with our shepherd, how much more? Somebody tells you a story, you can feel their pain instead of telling them how to fix it. They don't need your advice how to fix it, but I got plenty of it. Well, you know how to fix it when you get 75, maybe. Anyway, so they're getting sick and tired of her here. So they charge her back. They challenge her. What is thy beloved more than another? What are you talking about? I don't see that in that man. Well, hello. They're not married to that man. They don't see what you see, of course. Fairest among women, they're kind of mocking her, you know. And what is thy beloved more than another beloved? that thou dost dare to charge us. I mean, after all, they're in Solomon's court. Who includes way up there? Greatest speaker in the world. People have said, don't you want to be Joyce Meyer? I said, for God's sakes, no.
Neither.
I don't want to be on anybody's that kind of stage. I'm glad for her, so I'm not making light of her in case this gets out. She's beautiful on her realm. I wasn't called to that. And she pays a price to do what she does. So why do they challenge her? Because their relationship is on a much lower realm. All they care about is, know to care about, and I'm kind of accusing them, although they're not awake. You know, they're really naked and don't know they're naked, wearing all that beautiful stuff. Anyway, they just haven't made the progressive transition that it takes. I had a conversation with my husband not long ago, kind of a deep conversation. And I said, well, honey, what do you believe? He said, I don't know. It's changing every day. I thought, well, that's wonderful. It should change. And we should grow and move on and on, because it gives us, does it give us more chains in a sense, but a freedom at the same time. We know what to do with the chains and when to use them and when not to use them. So there comes a beautiful wisdom with it. Well, this challenge is certainly not unexpected by her, you know. I know I've heard all my life. One time I heard my dad say to my grandmother, now, Miss Webb, I've heard all my life that Jesus was coming. And grandmother didn't get an attitude or anything. She just smiled. She said, oh, Clifton, I have too. But I still believe. I still believe he's coming. And she was right, because he's coming in us every day. He doesn't have to come back as Jesus. He's got a beautiful body of humanity that he walks about in. And some are displaying him. That's happening. It's not on the scale that I would hope it would be. But it's underlying force. Praise God for that, and nothing's going to stop it. It's happening. He's putting in an appearance. If you just look at your everyday life, Bruce decides he needs a companion. And he brings home this little thing from Oliver Springs. Very different culture down there. Always been that between Oak Ridge and Oliver Springs. And I'm saying, okay, God, what's this about? Just show me. Well, as you come to know somebody, you get to see the beauty of it. The redemptive qualities, it's just so wonderful. As out of a relationship, you have a relationship out of respect, and it brings forth just such a flow. It's awesome. It's just been awesome. I don't know if God worked on her or worked on me. I think it's both. But anyway, I just had to say that, because it's a constant working relationship is. Building, if you will, we have to build. We have to give ourselves to that. Anyway, she realizes by now, I hope, the Shulamite does. It don't take you long to realize that somebody is totally unaware of what you're talking about. So I just shut up. You know, if they're not where I am and can't eat it, I'm not going to force feed them. They'll just puke on me. Because if you force feed somebody, they'll vomit on you. Can't do it. So I just leave it alone. He'll bring somebody along, I can fellowship somewhere. Anyway, I want to show you a contrast here, though, between them and something else. Between her and something else. There's a tremendous contrast between the lady clothed with the sun and the great whore that sitteth on many waters. I don't want to meddle too much this morning, but all of us still have some of the great whore in us. Everybody in this room. Oh, yeah. Of course, I believe mostly we're the woman standing in the sun. But sometimes we miss it. Okay, let's look at that, because this is really beautiful. I've never studied this to this degree before. Revelation 12:1. I wonder where that pen went. Just leave it. I'll get it later. Thank you. John says, and he's talking about a woman at this time. When I was talking about Virgo, this is definitely a feminine sign. You see the females here, this one and this one. There's two of them. The virgin has to bring forth. That has nothing to do with you being a natural virgin. It just happened to back then. God picked a natural virgin as an example or type. But the virgin territory in your misunderstanding. The virgin territory is the flesh that has not been penetrated, is all it is. The carnality. Once there's a penetration of the flesh, the hymen's broken and you can receive seed. That's not hard. Of course, if I taught it in church, they'd tar and feather me. But I just felt like I needed to say that. So there appears a wonder in your heaven, whatever your heaven is. A woman clothed with the sun. Okay. When I looked up clothed, I was so surprised because it just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, the word clothed. It takes you to a root, a primitive root, and then takes you all over the place in expanding that word. So if you're using the Strong's, never just read that translation. Read above it, below it, and around it to see what the expansive use is. I mean, it'll wake up your mouth. It says, she is clothed, uses the word, and I did not see it before I wrote my notes. But I thought it and wrote it down, and then it used it in my study. I thought that was one of them straight, hot off the throne things that I didn't have to look up. She's clothed thoroughly. Do you know what thoroughly means? Thoroughly within her heart and without. She's pierced and pulled through. How many of your ladies ever had your hair highlighted? Put this little doodad on you. and they start dragging hair through. She's pierced and pulled through. That's what the original says. I thought, okay. And with an abundant thoroughness to every extremity, she is fortified. She is garrisoned to the excess and beyond, to totality, enveloped with light, invested with a palisades of garment. Whew. I thought, this blows me away. It's beautiful. But the Shulamite replies, I've been stripped of my badger skin before. You know, the badger skin, that's the last covering on the tabernacle. I've been stripped of the ram skin dyed red before. She said, of the ram skin dipped in the blood repeatedly. I've been stripped of that. I've been stripped of my scapegoat hair covering. Do you remember her teaching on the scapegoat? He was let go alive until those Israelite women got a hold of him and plaited his back and ripped it off of him, or cut it off. And I've been stripped of my own personal fine linen. I discovered what my righteousness was. We need to hear this, all of us. Some of the things you think are righteousness are self-induced righteousnesses. I mean it. Don't ask me to call them out because I know them. So here I stand with nothing on, she says, but a smile. I mean, they call me the street, the fastest thing on 2 feet. Who was that? Ray Stevens wrote that. I thought that was the cutest song. I don't remember the rest of the song, but it's lengthy. He tells a story because this guy's running through a grocery store naked. Matthew 25 and 36. I'm going to tell us that we've all been there. And we all get there. We need to remember this. Probably wrote it down wrong. Must have. 36. Last one. Okay. I'm not going to read that whole chapter because it's about sowing and reaping and a little bit of it, but you will get the gist out of these few verses so it doesn't get lengthy. And he shall say, set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. You remember the teaching on that. The left hand goat speaks there's more work to be done. He's got the sheep corralled. The goat doesn't corral it easy. So, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. You didn't say nothing about my nakedness. I thought, okay, God, I'm going to hand you my tongue. you can circumcise it linear foot by linear foot. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And everybody wants to do this naturally. Stop. Stop right there if that's where your mind's going. I mean stop. Because this is not an obligation, guilt trip thing. If you're under an obligation to someone, that is a spirit of obligation. And I ain't having no part of that dude. I know that dude. So that has nothing to do with that. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty and give thee a drink? When saw we thee as a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or saw you sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as in your life as you've met one of these and they needed spiritual clothing, I'm not saying don't give them something naturally, but it's much more about what you can give them spiritually. I see people in that position all the time, but they like their nakedness and they like their hunger. So I said, well, when you get enough, we'll give you something. When you get enough of your nakedness and your hunger and your thirst, I know they're thirsty. So that's all. That's the point I wanted to make there. So this lady that I'm speaking about, she understands when spirit speaks to her to be a part of something, not when that intellectual and egotistical obligating mind says it to you. You will know the difference, because there will be a soft willingness to really do that, and you'll feel drawn before you do it. I don't just do that anyway. But I have had things happen out of character, and I did them, and I knew it was God. But I had, listen, if a thought comes in your mind, could you be smart enough to pass it before the Father and feel it out? Say, well, what's the source of this? I mean, where's this really coming from? Should I really be doing this? It could be to the detriment. The places are full of beggars, and a lot of them want to be. There's an Oak Ridge beggar that wants to be. His kids, everybody's tried to get him to come home. He won't have it. Do you hear what I'm saying? People like where they are sometimes, and they don't want you to disturb their hell. So I ain't going to take away their hell. Let them have all they want. They enjoyed that place for many years, and they keep enjoying it. But their heart's not open to hear nothing else. It's shut up, like Jericho. Anyway. So the lady we're talking about is clothed with the sun. So she's not going to move just impetuously. Should I really do this? I've watched Terry grow spiritually. And she runs into beggars and stuff on the street. She said, the one where I'm spoken to, Mother, I help sometimes. if God don't speak, I don't help. There's a time to do and a time not to do. Wisdom builds a house, but first it hews out seven pillars before it takes that step. And I always say, who is this for? Does this, the Father, would this help and bring you glory? Or does it just make a part of me just feel good? That's the difference in that ink on paper and the living word appear. Big difference. So this lady's wearing the light that we just talked about and other things. I'm not going to go into all that because I just wanted to make a point there. Revelation 17:1 talks about another woman. However, it does not call her a lady. She's no lady. And like I said, this is still part of every one of us. We may not realize some things. And maybe we don't. Maybe we do. Or maybe we refuse the plow. You can refuse the plow. Yeah, you can. You can tell yourself you're all right. God said, that's cool. Let's live that way for a couple more thousand years. I'll deal with you again. And there came one of the angels, Revelation 17:1, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come up hither, come to a higher ascended realm. Don't be thinking about this literally happening on earth, and boy did I. I thought, all this stuff, good grief, monsters. I mean, it caused a state of fear in me that was ridiculous.
Fantasy.
I should have known it wasn't. God never wanted that. God does not want us to fear him. He wants us to love him. And just give him R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. That put Aretha Franklin on the map, that song. Wonder why? Because it reaches far and wide into humanity. And they keep playing it. She's still an icon for having done it. Anyway, he says, now come up here, get in this ascended realm. Don't be down there in the ink on paper anymore. I want to show you this in a higher sphere. Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters. Let's get this fixed right now. The great whore, the word here, is male prostitute. So it has to do with a spirit, not of God, in you, or that comes to you, around you, because it is male. Not just the male gender. I mean, the women's right would love this to interpret it their way, but you can't do this. We're all male and female, are we not? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we respond within us either to the male, the spirit of God, or a whoring spirit. And sometimes it's a whoring spirit. That's all I'm telling you. It can plant seed, not just in you, but anybody else. Is this not what Solomon done? God painted a picture for us all the way through. It's everywhere. I'll just give my seed where I want to give it. And the horse says, yeah, I'll just receive seed anywhere I want to receive it. I'm going to do it this way. Determination. Because you're on the river called, in Egypt, called the Nile. Duh. Nile. somewhere in us, we all have some denial. Anyway, immediately after I read that, the Spirit spoke this to me, where John, Jesus' brother John, that wrote the first book of John, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not his brother. He was a first cousin. We know this. Okay. 1 John 4. Those little bitty books. I need tabs. It's in here. John says, "Beloved," who do you think he's talking to when he says beloved? He's talking to a realm of sinners or somebody that don't know nothing. He's talking to the body of Christ, whom we are. Don't believe every spirit that shows up in your brain. Test it. See who it really blesses. And if it's in order. Is it in order? If it's not in order, you're doing it wrong. See whether they be the Spirit of God or a male prostitute that's come my way all my life. My ancestors all did it. People are proud of that. And I'm going, for the love of God, I hope I'm never named among it. Deceived? Yeah. Familiar family spirits are deceiving. Very. I see them straight up. Believe not every spirit of thought comes. Well, that sounds good. I love what Carolyn said about my husband. Me, I can make a fast decision. But if you want him to make a fast one, you better pack a lunch. Because he's not. She said he takes the slow, calm approach to what he does. I said, he does that. By the time he does it, I don't want him to. I'm over it. Although I know it's right. Let's think about it. So, but I do this. Because of my position, I must think about how this affects everything when I have certain decisions to make. And I always say, God, what? What would you say right here, right now in this thing? What would your decision be? And we talk. There's wisdom in conversation. In many counselors, there is wisdom. I don't just listen to me. I have people I talk to when I'm making certain decisions and ask them for advice, how they feel, where they've been. And especially older people. For some reason, the younger generation thinks older people are stupid. Listen, we gained a little wisdom in these 75 years. Believe it or not. Anyway, let's go back to 1 Timothy because it goes right along with this scripture. I guess us women need to sit down and have Bible drills. I forgot how to look up anything. 1 Timothy and 2. Verse 13. For Adam was first formed, squeezed, dealt with. Creation is letting. It means to cut down a tree, just select a tree and cut it down. Well, you gonna let it lay there and rot in your yard or what? Are you going to do something? Are you going to change the manner of that tree? Most people's going to cut it up and put it somewhere in order. When they did a sacrifice, the scripture says they had to lay the wood in the brazen altar in order. I said, God, are you military and everything? Really? In an order. So if you're stacking up humanity, because you're wood, you know, too, that needs to be done in order, too. Okay. I get it. I don't like it, and it's ridiculous, but I'll do it if I can. If I can find the order. Adam's first, not just selected, he squeezed. And what did God squeeze out of him? A woman. A companion. It says Adam was first squeezed, formed into shape. Okay. So Adam was not deceived in the garden, remember? He was not deceived. But the woman being deceived here was in transgression. So Adam ate to redeem her. Just like Jesus came and hung on the tree to eat of this life so he could redeem us. Just like we're lay on a tree taken of life so we can redeem, not condemn. Okay. So if the male prostitute in us, and he's there, gives himself over to deception, we can be deceived. Where does that leave his female? She's completely uncovered. Have you noticed those that are going for the ego teaching, everything's God? They don't care nothing about soap. Don't want to hear nothing about soap. And everybody's got one. God take care of her. You sure better cover her. However, if we see our divine feminine headed for deception, and she is not submitted to her male. We saw that in the teaching of the Pistos Sophia, the realm that was not. She said, I don't want no husband. I don't want no man telling me what to do. I like to be free. I don't want to answer nothing or nobody. Right? Did she not do that? I hear women all the time doing it. I'm going, you don't know what you're saying. And shame on you. There will be no children to replenish the earth. If we didn't have the male, in reality, it's not something up there in heaven that gives you that seed. You better have somebody walking around on 2 feet that's in flesh and blood. You see the lady in deception, and she is not submitted to her male. She will suffer. This is personal, him being The scripture says, him being often reproved, she talked about the goat nature, remember? Not that the goat is all bad, because in your daddy's sign of Capricorn is a redeemer. He hath goodly pearls. So we can't keep making that part look bad. And the goat that gets manifest in Capricornian age is coming out of the fish. So he is totally ruled by and governed by the Christ nature. He won't step out of line, but he will make you stay in line. I don't know if I want to live over there, because every thought will be to reveal to everybody. You talk about keeping them clean, we better learn to do that. Because people are going to know what you think. But that's to a measure already. I don't have to ask sometimes people what they think. I can tell by looking at them. I know what they think. But anyway, Proverbs 29. When I was little, my grandmother quoted me this. I must have been stubborn and in trouble or something, because she quoted this scripture to me. She never did it in a condemning way. Just quoting me the scripture.
Where is it? Proverbs
1? 29. Okay. And 1. He, being often reproved, this is, I'm not having it. You ain't whipping me. I'm not going to have the plow right now. You ain't plowing my fallow ground. I like it is. Shall be destroyed, dealt with. Destroyed means a rubbing or an erasing. God goes to rubbing you. I tried to deal with you and tried to tell you not to do that. And we're irritated. Why are we irritated? Because we knew better. But we didn't want to be corrected. And that without remedy. So it's still going to get us if we're rebellious or if you're not rebellious. But I think I'd rather to go the submissive route. That's a little easier on me. A whole lot easier. And the fellowship's better too. And it gives so many examples through scripture. Genesis 6, when it says, they told the sons of Israel, or the children of Israel, do not marry out of your tribe. Did they? Of course they did. Scripture says, the sons of God, spiritual giants, looked at the affections of men and said, whoa, I want to be with her. I'm going to take her. And it made a giant. Those two seed made a huge giant in your life. And that's what we see in family heritages sometimes. Stand out things. Things that I look at ours and I see some things stand out. And I'm going, Lord Jesus, please let us do better than that. Not that we don't have some good heritage, too. We all do. I'm sure we could all find beautiful things, too. But we're not finished. We're being adjusted and corrected. And we can either let him take a hammer or a ball bat, whichever. Or we can just step on over into the holy place and let him give us a little tap in the candlestick area where the seeing is. That's spiritual seeing. I'm done.